Every day, companies you've never heard of are making millions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records on the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace built on your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. Aura removes your personal data from broker sites and keeps it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal system. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your online life. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager for safer logins, and spam call protection to shut down scammers. Aura scans the dark web for your most sensitive information and notifies you instantly if anything is exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 billion in insurance and 24/7 US-based fraud support. Other service charges about the same, but only cover one or two areas. Aura gives you everything: data broker removal, identity and credit monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all in one simple app. Aura removes what's already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Go to aura.com/remove for complete digital protection and peace of mind. That's aura.com/remove.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game. Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
Get ready, Ohio. FanDuel, America's number one sports book, is coming to the Buckeye State. And to kick things off, you can get started with $100 in free bets as an early sign-up bonus. Plus, when you sign up today with promo code OhioFD, you'll be all set when FanDuel goes live in Ohio. Then you can bet on all your favorite teams in all your favorite sports with $100 in free bets. Just download FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Ohio, this is your chance to get in on the action. Join today with promo code OhioFD. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 or older and present in Ohio. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after FanDuel accepts its first real money sports wager in Ohio, 1-1-23. Unique user identity verification required. Offer ends on the go live date. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G, because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.
Introducing the Lowe's List for Innovation. While our aisles are filled with innovative products, we've selected our favorites just for you. Like the exclusive Whirlpool washer with industry-first 2-in-1 removable agitator. We love this washer because you can customize any load. And with other smart features to streamline your laundry routine, this product is a must-have for families. Shop the full Lowe's List of top picks at Lowe's.com. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. U.S. only.
And how do these?
Sorry, go ahead, Josh.
I was just wondering how we are a Ravens focused podcast. How does these guys coming off the board really affect the Ravens or the AFC North? Clearly, it was obvious with Joe Burrow to deal right with the Bengals, but a guy like Chase Young going to the Skins, does that have any impact on the Ravens?
You know, in my opinion, no, because he was going to be gone in the first couple of picks anyway. So it wasn't really a matter of is his spot going to go to a quarterback? I guess you could start the run on quarterbacks a little earlier, but they're going to have time to make that up right now. The Lions have their pick in. It appears they've made it themselves. So good chance it's Okuda. Maybe Tua is slipping yet another spot, and we'll see how that gets dealt with here. But I don't think Chase Young or really any of the guys that will go in about the first – 8 or 9 picks really affect the Ravens too much, other than the Browns pick 10th. And the Ravens would probably not like to have the Browns get one of the players that they think would match up particularly well against the Ravens.
Yeah, I agree. I think these early picks, you know, what was going to happen was going to happen. I mean, whatever the order of those guys, you know, we didn't know that, but we knew the group of guys that were probably going to come off the board there. So it wasn't going to impact. And you have all the other picks later to kind of make up for that. So I think you're right. I think when you get around the Browns pick, maybe even a couple picks before that, you might start to see things that could have some implications for the Ravens in terms of the players that go off maybe right around 7, 8, 9.
So Jeffrey Okuda is the guy, a cornerback from Ohio State, second straight Ohio State defensive player selected in this round. Tell us a little bit about him in terms of what he brings the Lions.
Just an overall, you know, if you had to like create, you know, a cornerback in Madden, you know, he's like the all around created player in terms of size, in terms of athletic ability. I know he didn't run super fast at the combine, but fast enough, but a corner who can play press man, who can play off coverage, who can play in zone, you know, guy that has production on the ball, right? He's not just, you know, a guy who's knocking the ball down. He's also got interceptions. Tough guy who's physical in the run game, right? He'll get off the blocks. He'll come up and tackle in the run game. Just when you think about a first round corner and what that player is supposed to look like in the NFL, that's what he looked like at Ohio State. You know, now we'll see the transition to the NFL, but that's what we saw on the field at Ohio State.
4.39 40, extremely strong for a cornerback with 20 bench reps. His vertical and broad jump are both very good, even for the defensive back class at 37.5 on the vertical and 10.7 on the broad. I really look at those as being important for pass rushers and defensive linemen in terms of get off. Maybe you can make a case for those numbers being as important at the catch point. How do you look at vertical jump and broad jump for a cornerback?
Yeah, I think you hit on it. I think those are the areas where it comes into play when you're at the catch point. Obviously, vertical jump, you know, can you go up and contest the ball, you know, if it's going to be a jump ball 50-50 situation. I think broad jump and vertical jump, but broad jump to me, that goes to your explosion, your ability to change direction, right? So you see these guys in a backpedal, they have to quickly plant and then transition out of that and move either forward or left or right. So I think you see some of that ability to you know, really sink your weight and explode out of that opposite direction and then move quickly into a new direction.
Now, so at 6 foot, and let's see, how tall is he? I hope I wasn't looking at the wrong guy here. I might have been looking at C.J. Henderson in terms of his stats there.
Yeah, I don't think Okuda ran a 4.39, but maybe he did.
4.48 for Okuda. Okay. Sorry about that. Only 11 reps on the bench, but his vertical's off the charts at 41 inches, broad at 11.3. Sorry for getting those stats wrong. 6'1", 205, just a little bit north of the median height now for a corner, which has gone up consistently to right around 6 feet, and that includes slot corners. So the Ravens, I certainly think of them as having a group of aircraft carrier cornerbacks on the outside, but the rest of the NFL is getting that way too in terms of having bigger guys playing on that outside.
Yeah, and then you think about the guys that he's going to have to face. I know we're Raven-centric, but think about the guys he's going to have to face in that division. Devontae Adams, used to be Stephon Diggs, but now it's just Adam Thielen out there in Minnesota. You want a guy who can be physical, who can run, who can contest at the catch point, but who can also, you know, be a playmaker in terms of a ball haul, you know, taking the ball away. So I think he offers a little bit of everything in terms of those attributes.
Where does Okuda fit in terms of ball skills?
I don't know the numbers. You can probably double check me on this. I don't feel like he had a super high interception count, but I think that he's always in a position where he's making plays on the ball. So if he's not in a position to intercept it, he's typically knocking it down or he's tipping it in a way where a teammate gets an opportunity to intercept it. So I don't know that his individual interception numbers were that high, at least not what I remember from watching it.
Right. He, three interceptions and only two touchdowns allowed in his college career. According to PFF, last year, a passer rating of 45.3 against him. By the way, I highly recommend the PFF draft guide to folks. A lot of information that's of a different type. And don't just go by their draft scouting report. Look at other scouting reports and look at film, damn it. But the PFF guide really provides a lot of baseline information for people. And I like it from bringing together pieces of information like that.
Yeah, there's so many good things out there now. PFF, their guide is really good. Sports Information Solutions, they do a rookie handbook, which is really good. You know, there's guys that I think are more film-based, like Dane Brugler, who puts out a draft guide I get every year. Matt Waldman, if you're kind of in the fantasy football community, but Matt kind of straddles the line between fantasy and real football because he evaluates it through the lens of fantasy, but he evaluates real football traits and real football situations. So there's a lot of good information out there for people who want to, you know, maybe get up to speed a little bit on these prospects. Even now, like, don't think it's too late, you know, because the draft is happening. Now that you know where these guys are going, you know, you can read up on them and for your team, you know, really learn more about these players and what they should be able to bring to your team.
Hey, how much do you look at RAS, R-A-S?
Kent Lee Platt. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Kent's work. So you know, he puts together the relative athletic score. He's been doing it for a number of years now. And it's another piece of information. You know, it's another puzzle piece, another piece to the picture where he really focuses on trying to build an athletic profile of guys. And now he's got, man, I don't remember the year he actually started, but he's got a number of years now of data where you can do some comparisons. And I remember interacting with Kent one time when I first came across it on Twitter, and I was complaining about the Ravens, like, oh, they need to get more athletic. The Ravens never take athletic players. He's like, what are you talking about? I can show you the RAS scores for their last couple of years. They always take athletic guys. So I was like,
Miles Boykin. Off the charts with Miles Boykin last year.
Yeah, so that's how I got my first introduction to Kent and really opened my eyes. It was probably 2017, I think, when I had that interaction with him, and I'm thinking, they got to get more athletic. He's like, no, look, I can show you the rest of these guys. So another piece of information that I think is helpful.
Something might be happening here. The Giants down to 1:40. The trade has not been made. The pick is not in. So nothing has been said about this. So could be some phone calls going on there to try and figure out what they'll do with that fourth pick. I'm sure they're listening to all comers at this point in terms of what they can get for it, particularly from Miami at number 5. That's a team you can have a lot of discussion about that because it's only a one pick difference. You know, you're probably get your guy if it's not a quarterback you want. And you just have to argue them over the price at this point and really try and convince them there's other teams who want it. Giants pick is in.
All right. Let's see who it is. Yeah, they obviously have a young quarterback in their own right, Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. So maybe they go after a tackle, you know, to try to help protect him. Maybe it's a guy like Isaiah Simmons, you know, the linebacker / safety, you know, whichever way people project him, you know, both ways from Clemson, who've been kind of mocked at him. So be interesting.
Do you have Wirfs as your top tackle?
I'm probably more of a Becton, maybe even Andrew Thomas guy.
Okay.
And not that I don't think Wirth is a good player, but I think about him playing in that Iowa system, right, in a zone-based run system. And I think about him playing right tackle in college, right? And not there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, just it's a question that I ask myself that if you're the guy, if you're the man, you know, on that offensive line, the top tackle on that offensive line, why aren't you on the left side, you know? So it's a question I ask myself.
Well, that's a legitimate question, especially.
Now, he played, and I should caveat that. He did, they did an interesting thing where they would sometimes move him in a game from one side to the other side. So not often, but he has played on the left side, but he said that he moved to the right side and stayed at the right side for injury reasons. And that's why he, you know, the player ahead of him got injured, and that's why he ended up staying there. So, you know, obviously you defer to the player, but just a question that I've had. But you go to his combine, extremely athletic, tested extremely well, big, powerful dude. So I don't think you could go wrong picking him here.
All right. Well, Giants apparently made the pick. So Dave Gettleman making his phone calls or whatever, but I assume that card should be brought to the podium by Goodell at any moment now. And we do expect it to be a player, certainly that is projected to go. So maybe it's Simmons, maybe it's a tackle, maybe it's
there he is.
Mel?
Dave Gettleman. Yeah. They show Joe Judge. Joe Judge is a very Spartan looking existence there in
yes.
where he was at.
I don't think that the typical coach wants to conduct the draft where he's got all his pinball machines and whatnot set up. This is, you know, and all this.
No Machiavelli books. No Machiavelli books displayed.
Yes. That was weird. Here we go. Andrew Thomas of Georgia is number 4 off the board. So really looked like the Giants tried to trade that pick, because I'm sure they would have had Andrew Thomas at number 5 if they traded it to Miami. Miami apparently wasn't biting.
Yeah, they had plenty of time, you know, if that was their guy all along. So, yeah, I definitely think there was some action happening behind the scenes there. But good player, really good player, left tackle at Georgia. Big dude, moves well. Really one of the games that caught my attention was against LSU, and seeing him match up against Chaisson a lot. And Chaisson threw about every move in the book at him, and he handled them all very well. So, you know, that was a really impressive matchup when you see two guys who are projected to be, you know, first-round type picks go against each other. And I would have to give Thomas the edge in that matchup.
All right. Okay, great pick. We'll see how it works out. I was going to look at his athleticism. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask, now that the Dolphins are on the clock, we all know they need a quarterback. This is where there's some drama where no one knows who's going to be taken as the second quarterback. Who do you guys have, or who would you take if you were the Dolphins?
I think this is likely to, from my bet, but Michael, do you see any difference from that?
Now, all things being equal for me, like to a health, if there wasn't legitimate health concerns, which we don't know, you know, from our perspective, how his hip has healed at this point, I definitely would take Tua over Herbert or any of the other guys, even though there have been reports that, you know, the Miami, you know, personnel, you know, group is split on Tua and Herbert. You know, take those reports for what you will, but you know, apparently there's people in the building who are big Tua fans and people in the building who are big Herbert fans. So we'll see.
Okay, Andrew Thomas, very well-rounded athletic profile here. The only thing he's a little light on is bench reps at 21 here.
What was his arm length?
Arm length is 36 and an eighth.
Okay, that could explain the low bench
press. That'll work.
That could explain the low bench press reps. Typically, those longer arm guys don't, you know, the whole range of motion deal. It's hard to move that bar when you've got that much distance.
Shouldn't they change the level of the bar to adjust for arm length? I mean, it would just seem like.
Seems like it, yeah.
And I've noticed the same thing, particularly in the offensive line that keeps showing up in the 34-inch plus guys. But just how astoundingly rare that is. I think there's two interior offensive linemen with arms over 34 inches in the entire draft. So you're really talking about, this is Jared Gaither length arms. I mean, these are astoundingly long for a man who's only 6'5". This really belongs to a basketball player who might be 6'9" or whatnot. But that arm length will serve him well once he learns how to use it and punch effectively, because he's going to dictate first contact even against the longest edge rushers.
That's what really gave Chaisson trouble in that matchup, that length. He was just able to get his hands on Chaisson and really shut some of those moves down really before Chaisson could get them started. You know what I mean? It's just you hear rushers talking about, all right, on my third step, you know, I'm going to try to work that move. Time he got to his third step, or, you know, almost simultaneously as his foot hitting the ground, he had two hands on it. And, you know, so you're trying to start that move and you're already got these hands on you, and you have to counter, you know, very quickly in that situation, or have a plan for that happening. And it's hard to have a plan for that. You know, it's like, wait, this guy's not supposed to be able to touch me at this point where he's touching me. How is this happening? So it can be frustrating.
3 minutes to go on Miami's pick here, but if they do want Tua, if he's their guy there at number 5, you got to really credit them for not taking the bait and moving up at some point in these first three picks, because every pick here just astoundingly valuable in terms of what potentially they could have been traded for. So to move from number five to number two, for example, might cost them a mid first round pick to do so. And it's exceptional that Miami was able to hold off and just say, we don't think anybody else is taking him. And if we didn't get him, maybe we like Herbert just as much.
Yeah. I mean, they really held their water, held their cards here on this one. And, you know, I know we'll probably hear about it as the night goes on, or maybe even the next coming days of teams who maybe made calls and tried to make moves up, you know, maybe ahead of Miami, or maybe even what Miami may have tried to do. But regardless of whether they tried to do it or not, they didn't do it. And it looks like, you know, the player that they want is going to be right there for them at their original pick.
How do you judge the Chargers in this game? Did they also be exceptional in terms of holding their water? Because, you know, pretty good chance I think the Chargers will end up maybe taking Herbert, or maybe they end up with somebody else. I don't think they just have one need. But how do you grade the Chargers at waiting through the fifth pick?
Yeah, I'd say probably a similarly, you know, good job if maybe they were a little close. And if we're talking about quarterbacks, if they were maybe a little bit closer on guys like Tua or Herbert, you know, if you were, you know, hands down on Tua, maybe I'd critique it a little bit and say, it's probably worth trying to make that move up to get him if he was really your guy. But if they were closer on those two and say, hey, you know, we're really comfortable going either way, we just sit there and let whichever guy who's there come to us, then yeah, you know, kudos to them for being able to do that.
Well, the risk you take is at number four, because presumably if you find out by at least number three, you can try and trade up and get number four. That's but if you true. If at number four that trade is made and some other team, not the Dolphins, moves up, takes Tua, and then the Dolphins take Herbert because, hey, they had a pretty close valuation on those guys, the Chargers all of a sudden could be way down their list in terms of the quarterback they get.
Yeah.
So let's hear from some from listeners out there in terms of what's going on here. If you got more questions, tell us a little bit. Does the format look okay, Josh? I haven't taken a look to see how the thing looks on in terms of video.
Yeah, it's coming along good. I got to play a fun game of typing in the draft pick's name and pulling up his highlight videos before he gets drafted and hoping that's the guy that they call. So far I've been good and been able to get him up as soon as you announce it. But now is, I think, when it starts to get tricky. So we'll see how that goes. Again, people are still focused on the AFC North and Burrows and wonders, is that really an upgrade for the Bengals versus when they had Andy Dalton or Ryan Finley? Does this one move make them suddenly a more competitive team?
That's for you, Michael.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does because I probably, I'll throw this caveat out there. I probably thought a little more highly of Andy Dalton as a quarterback than a lot of people probably do, particularly as Ravens fans who, you know, I mean, you can look at the whole history and talk about the struggles in getting to the playoffs and not winning playoff games. But I always thought that Andy Dalton was a guy who was capable. He was going to keep you in the game, was going to be competitive, was going to make some plays. You know, now he also had the potential to you know, play that double agent role and help the other team out too. But I thought he was a solid guy. I think Burrow is a level above that. I think he's a level above solid. I think he's a guy who can put a game on his shoulders and go out and win a game for you just in terms of being able to process what defenses are throwing at him, get the ball out of his hands quick, do it with some accuracy, do it with some anticipation, give guys an opportunity to make plays after the catch, right, and not make them have to catch a bunch of junk balls. Not to say that Dalton did that, but that's one of the differences that I see between those two guys.
All right. I would agree. I definitely, while Dalton was surprisingly productive for a lot of his career, he never really had a lot of those high-end traits. Maybe mentally he was a little bit ahead of some other quarterbacks in terms of being able to process things. Maybe that was it. But, you know, he obviously hasn't done too well, and some of that's a limited mobility question in the last couple of years with not a particularly good offensive line in Cincinnati.
All right. Well, we've got the pick in for the Dolphins, and as you said, it's Tua.
Tagovailoa, and exciting Tagovailoa. Sorry, Tagovailoa. I always mispronounce that.
That's why I only went with one name.
Good choice. It was suggested to me that I should do that last night by a very smart man. I can't remember who did that, but thank you, Michael. And I'm sorry I didn't take your advice.
another you know, interesting in that this has gone pretty chalky, I would say, so far in terms of how the players have come off the board. But to Tua specifically, again, setting aside the hip, because we just don't know, but if it's healthy, and even if it's not fully healthy right now, obviously they've got Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Lost your audio, Michael.
So, Ken, do you think is
there quarterbacks operating in the RPO game?
All right, so we lost.
Go ahead, Josh, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, we lost, Michael. We lost whatever you were saying there. I think you were getting to the fact of, is Tua ready to play this season?
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, so that's an unknown, you know, right now. But the point that I made on that was that, you know, the Dolphins have Ryan Fitzpatrick, so if Tua isn't physically ready to play, you know, you have a guy who, you know, can take snap from under center and keep you competitive and win some games. But if Tua is ready, you know, you get a guy who's very accurate, guy with a really good arm, guy who's really good in the RPO game. I mean, extremely good in the RPO, in the run pass option game, in terms of making those decisions, right? Because that's accuracy is one part of it, but then making the decision to hand the ball off or throw it is probably the first fundamental part of that. He's really good at that. So I think the Dolphins, you know, if he's healthy enough to get him this year, they get a really, really good quarterback.
Well, the fact that he's a left-handed quarterback and Steve Young comparisons are already being made in terms of career touchdown passes and whatnot. But we're seeing that highlight, or one of the highlights, of Steve Young running on the dirt at Candlestick Park, that infield dirt that's still left in there for the baseball season. And I can't get over how Steve Young is one of the most mobile quarterbacks of his day, and he handles like a freaking shopping cart on that dirt. And I know it's difficult to run on, but the difference between him and Jackson in terms of what there is as a running quarterback is remarkable.
Yeah, it's a different time in terms of mobility. Like you said, back at that time, you know, this guy was you know, very elusive, Steve Young, very elusive, you know, very good runner. But you compare him to what you see now, and it's like, I mean, you know, as well as anybody, as Ravens fans, we just haven't seen anything like Lamar. You know, people talked about Michael Vick, and that's probably the closest thing. But he's even in a different, you know, category from Vick. We just haven't seen somebody like this before.
Right. Vic probably more raw speed, Jackson just at another level, almost than any player in NFL history in terms of reading leverage. He's up there with Barry Sanders and Gale Sayers, are two that were suggested by Coach Evans, and the exact two I was thinking of when it was happening. So I didn't have two new ones, you know, you don't have many, and you know, Jackson starts with the advantage of having the ball in his hand. He doesn't have to be a running back who gets to do that. He gets the extra read to decide if he wants to beat the guy.
Yeah. And we were just talking about the young guns at QB and the AFC North. Think about the AFC East now. You've got Tua, you've got Josh Allen in Buffalo, you got Sam Darnold with the Jets. You know, you got some young guns in that AFC East right now. And maybe the most important thing is you don't have Tom Brady anymore.
Yeah, don't have Tom Brady. The Patriots maybe wanting to get Jordan Love tonight, who knows? You know, he's someone who's been linked to them. Eason, is he a possibility going to the Patriots at some point?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who I guess you can never say never. I'd be surprised if it was, you know, certainly in the first round, maybe even a little bit in the second round, maybe. But, you know, quarterbacks obviously are going to go, so maybe I shouldn't be that surprised. But, yeah, you could see Love. You could see Eason. I don't think Herbert – we'll see what happens right here. The Chargers pick is in. I don't know that Herbert's going to get that far down the board, but if he doesn't get picked here, then it's going to get interesting.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pick where I think is the first one that has some real impact on the Ravens. The Ravens definitely want Herbert to be selected here to force a greater, faster acceleration of the run on quarterbacks that might end up with the Ravens, you know, trading a pick that includes Jordan Love, perhaps, at 28. Yeah. That's certainly a possibility. So looking forward to this one. lots of talking heads. It's just it's kind of a cool thing to see everybody's library around them and whatnot.
But, yeah, I've been like trying to look at certain books. I think Louis Riddick there has a book by Jay-Z. It's an interesting selection back there. So I like to try to, you know, look at what's going on back there in the background. Of course, Kurt's got his Super Bowl up there, Super Bowl trophy. So is Irvin, I think he's got one back there.
Okay, I think good news here for the Ravens. Justin Herbert of Oregon is the next selection. The run on quarterbacks is on, we can say officially, with the third one taken off in six picks. And that has got to be a good thing for the Ravens, who are holding Lamar Jackson. So that's one more very eligible player who drops to number 28. And we may see more yet along these lines.
Absolutely. Like you said, a very good thing. There's a couple, you know, maybe even only one or two more quarterbacks projected to be on that fringe sort of first round, early second round, you know, sort of cutoff. And, you know, if you want that guy, you're probably going to have to make a move to get him at this point. So that is good news for the Ravens.
So is Jordan Love your next guy? I mean, there are other people in this draft who are, I don't know that they're great talent-wise around the way. Jalen Hurts has been suggested as a more mobile guy, or Jake Fromm. Who's on that list of quarterbacks that could go in the first couple of rounds?
Yeah, for me, Jordan Love, let me get the name right. Jordan Love would be the next guy for me, just from a physical talent standpoint. Obviously, you know, you're going to hear about the year that he had in 2019 versus 2018, more turnovers in 2019 than 2018. And that raised, you know, some questions about consistency and, you know, that gunslinger mentality. You know, he's got all these great physical traits, but can you rein him in? I like him from the physical talent standpoint. And really, when you're taking these guys, it's really what it's about, right? You're trying to.
All right, lost your audio again, yeah, Michael.
We're going to have to limit Michael to short comments.
Okay. It does seem to happen in the middle of his comment, and then he can't finish it. It's a good one. What I want to say here. I'd forgotten the comment I want to make about this. Michael, do we have you back?
I'm back. I'm sorry about the internet connection here. I might be able to try a relocation here now as people are starting to go to bed in my house. I might be able to go another place.
Why don't we do that on our bio break, see if we can improve the situation. You know, okay. We talked about the AFC East and the AFC North as having young quarterbacks, but the entire AFC now is so young at the quarterback position with, you know, Mahomes and Herbert now in the West. You know, I don't know what the Raiders are doing tonight, but they're a team who has been linked to new quarterbacks. So, you know, it could get very interesting, but the entire AFC, you got Watson, who else is in the South? If you believe Gardner Minshew is the long-term answer.
I hesitated to throw his name out there. I'm like, yeah, he's young. It's true. He's young, but yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, in the AFC, I mean, it is a youth movement at the quarterback position, and the guys that we knew, all the names that we knew for all those years, are older. You talked about Big Ben now, and or in some other cases are in other places, you know, with Brady. So
yeah, he's really the only one. I mean, you have Carr still around, but Roethlisberger at 38 is really in a class of its own. I remember Joe Flacco a couple of years ago being up the podium and saying, you know, I think this is a time where I think I can play to 45.
Yeah.
And you know, Brady, it seems to be happening. And boy, others, I think they're going to find a fairly quick drop off here with the changes that are going on. But Roethlisberger would be very interesting for the Ravens to see, because it's a major effort for the Steelers, again, to get a first round pick, to get a quarterback to go. I don't think either of the guys they have right now are potential long-term solutions. Rudolph, you know, the montage moment for him was having the face mask taken off of him and him wobbling off the field. Yeah. I don't think he'll be back in any meaningful way.
No, I think, you know, Doug Hodges probably surprised some people with, you know, some of the things he was able to do, but I don't see him as the long-term answer there. So you're right. It is going to be interesting to see what they do, because, you know, there are no guarantees that Ben is going to come back and be the same guy that he was. you know.
No, there aren't any guarantees, and they're going to pay him a ton of money to do it because he's at, what, $35 million a year roughly in terms. So, I mean, the Ravens will pay more for Jackson, but they'll also get more. In the case of Roethlisberger, that's, you know, two top-quality starters on defense or other places at important positions that you can't have because you've got Ben Roethlisberger's contract.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's – hey, we're Raven-centric, so – get no shed no tears.
Brock and I will tears only, yes. Yep. All right, the Panthers have made the pick at number 7. Who are we expecting here? Is this maybe Isaiah Simmons or a tackle, or what do you think?
Yeah, I'm gonna say Isaiah Simmons. I didn't necessarily I really thought he might have gone 4 to the Giants, but I'm certainly no gripe with the Giants taking a tackle with, like I said, with a young quarterback there. But with Simmons still on the board, I think this could be it for him.
All right. I just want to see what we have in terms of.
It sure would be nice if these TV broadcasts would go to commercial break before the pick comes in and not as soon as they tell us the pick is in, then go to a nice long commercial break.
Yeah, they're not giving them a lot of time, I don't think, to do this. So, you know, I'll come out on behalf of the networks and say it's a difficult thing to do that.
Oh, well, yeah. Sure, the whole thing's difficult, but it is, what, an hour and we've had 6 picks? So it is setting up for a long night.
I hope the pace will pick up.
Yeah, I was going to say, if the pace doesn't pick up, you're right. And we haven't had any trades yet. So, you know, maybe there's probably been some conversation, but, you know, no actual trades. And so, you know, that could affect the pacing, you know, as well if that starts to happen.
Simmons, an absurd athlete at 6'4", 238 to run a 4.39 40. Just ridiculous in terms of the entire size, speed, explosiveness combo. Vertical jump of 39 inches, which is not quite what Len Bias would do, but is extraordinary. And a broad jump of 11 feet, also outstanding. Boy. Certainly is a player, and he's the linebacker that I would have loved for the Ravens to get in the first round, even if it meant giving away the green dot, because he's certainly going to be a player that will be on there for every down they can possibly have him on.
Yeah, and with all of that athleticism, there's a legitimate conversation to be have about him playing safety. And I know it seems ridiculous, but a guy who I really respect, Matt Bowen, played safety in the league for a number of years, now does the NFL, you know, edge matchup show with Greg Cosell. He has him ranked as his top safety. So, you know, there are at least some people who've, you know, certainly got more experience than me, who think there's a legitimate possibility he could play safety in the NFL.
Would he help you more, some of his traits, would he help you more with his speed and ability to diagnose on the back end? Or is he going to be somebody who can understand what's going on behind him already such that he can get in the lane and with his height create more problems for the quarterback?
Yeah, he's so even for those people who think he can be a safety, to me, he's a guy who, you know, you see it in some of these college defenses, right? They call him a rover.
Oh,
where it's kind of like he's like a hybrid safety linebacker. They can play back, they can play up, they can do, you know, they can play outside and rush, they can do all these different things. I think that's how I'd want to see him used.
Okay, mild surprise here. Derek Brown of Auburn is the pick. You know, certainly a great player, somebody who's going to be picked in the top 10. I guess he won't end up in Cleveland. Now I'm concerned Isaiah Simmons might. And, you know, we're down to the 8th pick. Arizona's on the clock here. Cleveland picks 2 from now. And you got to wonder if they might be on the phone right now trying to move up and get Isaiah Simmons. They've had a lot of problems at inside linebacker the last few years. Joe Schobert has been okay. They've had, let's see, they got a really kind of lousy performance over his period there from the guy they got from New England. And I'm forgetting his name right now. Linebacker for the Browns, played originally in New England, Jamie Collins.
Yep. Yeah. You've talked before about how the teams in the division, at least from the defensive standpoint, you know, will probably have their picks pretty heavily influenced by how to defend the Ravens and Lamar Jackson specifically. And you talk about trying to match up with a guy like Lamar. Simmons, you know, probably gives you one of the better chances to do that.
Yeah, there's a, it certainly has got to be considered a risk at this point. The Arizona's letting the clock run down under 3 minutes, so you got to think they're probably waiting, as most teams do, to try and get a trade made. We really expected lots of trades tonight. You know, there certainly was lots of rumored trade activity, but you know, Miami holding their water, the Chargers holding their water, not making a trade has cut this down. So I've got this nice spreadsheet ready to go, and thanks to Dan Rees for giving me this to value trades relative to the JJ chart. And so we'll be able to do that hopefully quickly when it happens, but nothing to do so far.
Yeah, it's been relatively chalky, relatively quiet. And, you know, I thought about that. I kept thinking about, you know, the analysts all pointing to the depth of this draft and, you know, second and third round is really the meat of it, even into the fourth. And I started thinking, well, why would you make a lot of trades to move up if there's this great depth? You know, why wouldn't you just sit back, you know, and kind of just let it unfold? Maybe you miss out on your top guy, but if there's so much depth, maybe you get another guy right after him who, you know, you're almost as comfortable with.
Okay, the Cardinals pick is in now, so at least they didn't trade it to the Browns here. That's good news for Ravens fans. And we'll see who it'll be. What's your wager here in terms of who the Cardinals might need or want at this eighth selection?
Well, what I want for them, because I'm a Kyler Murray fan, is a tackle. So I'd be good with any of the tackles that are still on the board there to you know, protect Kyler Murray, because I think he's got an opportunity to be even better. I mean, I think he had a good rookie season. You know, obviously they add DeAndre Hopkins to their wide receiving core. If you can give him some protection in there, you know, they have Kenyon Drake, who they traded for from Miami last year, and so now he's back there in the backfield. They've got some players on offense, and you know, it's all going to come down to protection, you know, for Kyler Murray. So that's the direction I'd want to see them go.
All right, so I guess
could be CeeDee Lamb, maybe there's certainly been reports about CeeDee Lamb. You think about that wide receiving core. Larry Fitzgerald still there, DeAndre Hopkins. You bring in a guy like CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy. Obviously, Kingsbury wants to be in those four wide receiver sets, so that could be, you know, pretty. Look at that.
Yeah, the most extreme 10 personnel team in the entire league are the Arizona Cardinals. But they take Isaiah Simmons off the board, outside linebacker from Clemson, going to the NFC. We know the Browns are getting a good player, and then we know they'll have a choice of wide receivers among the big three anyway. At least they'll have one of them available. So now they'll have two of them available at a minimum. I think it's good news that Isaiah Simmons is off the board. I actually think the Browns are now more likely to take an offensive tackle given the trouble they've had there.
Yep, I'd agree with that. I think they definitely want to address that position since Simmons is off the board. I mean, this seems like a best player available pick for the Cardinals, taking Simmons at number eight. Because, again, like I said, I think they need to address the protection there for Murray. But with Simmons sitting on the board, I'm not even going to bring it up because I know it's still a sore memory for you. But when you have a good player on the board like that, don't pass that guy up, you know, take that guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, for every time I say Derwin James tonight, you know, people are going to have to drink. It's probably a good idea anyway if you're watching us on this.
See, you did it. You did it. I wasn't going to mention the name.
All right. So we got the Jacksonville on the clock now with 6.5 minutes to go. Jacksonville with a need at quarterback. I think folks would say they have another pick later in the first round, don't they? They're at number 20 as well.
I believe they do.
Okay, let me confirm that. Yeah, they have number 9 and number 20. So they were one of the teams that could have moved up potentially to get maybe even the second or the third overall pick, say, to get Tua if they wanted him. They didn't do it. But it's certainly – if they – let's say they want Jordan Love. Do you take him here at number 9 or do you take a chance and try and wait him out and get him at number 20 where he's more right valued?
I probably try to wait it out if it's me. I don't have the list up in front of me right now of the teams after that, so I can't rattle it off the top of my head, but I'll probably look at that and try to think about, okay, well, who's likely or would be in need of a quarterback
we got a moment here, so let me just rattle through those teams. You also seem to have lost your audio again. So the Jets at number – well, okay, we have Cleveland at number 10, the Jets at number 11, Las Vegas at number 12 with Derek Carr still at quarterback, San Francisco at number 13. We've probably taken a wide receiver, at least by many accounts. Tampa Bay at number 14 doesn't look to be looking for a quarterback. What about Denver at number 15 trying to find another quarterback? Possibility, maybe. Atlanta at number 16 has an older guy, Matt Ryan, still around. Dallas at number 17 is set. Miami now is set at number 18, although they could trade the pick. Las Vegas again at number 19. So you have to get back by the Raiders twice if you want to get Love in your Jacksonville and hope they don't take him. But there are definitely a few teams in there who would do it, and I think there's other teams who would trade the pick in a heartbeat to get more value.
Yeah. Yeah, after this pick here, it's going to be interesting to see if somebody tries to make that move and come up, which, like you said, if they do, could bode well for the Ravens. You'd like to see it happen a little bit later if that's what's going to happen. But
I'd kind of like to see it happen right now, because then I think there's even the possibility you get another quarterback into the first round somehow. Teams start to get desperate. You know, it's possible that they end up with another quarterback in that first round, this first round, I guess.
What about a guy like C.J. Henderson? For the Jags, for some depth after didn't they make some trades and get rid of some guys?
They did. They traded season, Jalen Ramsey.
Exactly. I've paid attention a little bit about down here. I've heard a little talk about what guys, what the Jags fans are excited about.
So C.J. Henderson, I actually read off his combine measurables earlier, but I'll do it again because they're exceptional. I think it was a 4.39 40. So it was. Let's go back to it for a moment here. Yeah, 4.39 40, 37.5 inch vertical, 10.7 on the broad, and 20 reps, which is really outstanding for a corner. So he's 6 feet, which is right in the mean height for a corner. So if he's being discussed in Jacksonville as the pick to make it number 9, I don't think that's an unreasonable one at all. Looks like Jacksonville did make the pick. They did not trade it yet again. Michael, you back with us?
Michael is not back with us. He appears to still be frozen. I don't really listen to sports talk down here, but I have heard a few fans talking about the possibilities of C.J. Henderson joining the team. So,
all right, why don't we say this? After the 10th pick is made, and I'd like people to make this within this, if you're listening to the podcast, send by Twitter and with the hashtag film study mailbag who you think the Ravens will get at 28. So you've seen a lot of things happening. You've seen a lot of this trending occurring. Who do you think will be the Ravens guy at number 28 based on the first 10 picks? And we'll do it again after number 20.
All right. I feel like there's going to be some big changes between there.
Yeah, certainly could be. And some players who might have been the 24th or 25th best player, well, maybe they're available to the Ravens now at 28.
Right.
We'll see how that works out.
And, of course, it's the pick after this that all Raven fans are watching for.
Very much so, with the Browns up at 10. Michael, we back here?
I'm back. I don't know what's happening over here, but I got kicked completely out on my end.
Okay. Well, fortunately, it works to just rejoin the call and whatnot, and hopefully we get you to a better spot a little later in the night before the Ravens pick.
I'm sure DaCosta's having the same problem tonight.
Long as he doesn't have it when it's time to pick.
Sure.
As long as he doesn't have it with his phone, too.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Jacksonville's made the pick. So still no trades through 9 selections. And the fewest trades in recent years has been 2 trades. But they've been between 2 and 8 for the last decade of trades in the first round. And so to have none so far is a little bit of an upset. And certainly, given the players available, the quarterbacks we thought might see some action, very surprising that there have not been any trades yet.
Yeah, I you get sucked into this thing where you look at these mock drafts. I do it and did it again this year, and you see people projecting all these trades. And even if you just look at past drafts,
– All right. Still having trouble hearing Michael.
Yep.
I can see him gesticulating with his head, but I can't hear him.
Right.
Hopefully we'll come back here with the pick, be able to announce that, talk a little bit about the guy, and we'll get Michael's take when he's back and in the clear here. Now, I've been noticing how the host on NFL Network looks a lot like John Slattery.
Now you're using a reference I don't know.
John Slattery was Slattery. He was on Mad Men. He's an actor. He's been on other things too. And I haven't had the sound on. I guess there's a small chance it is John Slattery, but I don't think it is. I think it's somebody else.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure John Slattery's not doing anything else but sitting in his house, so he could probably come on and host this if they would like him to.
Here's the pick. CJ Henderson goes to Jacksonville. So Josh, right on top of it, very athletic corner and nice size, average arm length at 31 5/8 for a corner. Michael, what do you think?
I think we've got a Jacksonville Jaguars insider there in Josh, number one. And
that'll be the only thing I get right tonight.
But then with the player with CJ Henderson, you know, there was some group of
lots of trouble with Michael tonight.
Yeah, you're cutting out again, Michael. Yeah. So we'll just continue on. I'm sorry about this, but we have to get you at a better spot in your house. We have the Browns pick is now in, so they presumably will announce it fairly quickly here. The Jets are now on the clock. The Browns are
all right. So the Browns
about to be announced.
The Browns are not even giving me time to get these graphics ready.
All right, do the best you can. No,
I'm all good.
Are we, Michael, would it be a fair, and we'll want a short answer on this, your audio doesn't cut out on us, would it be fair to assume the Browns are a fairly good chance to take an offensive tackle here, or do you think they might go for one of the big wide receivers?
Offensive tackle.
All right. I'm in agreement. And that surprisingly, all the three wide receivers made it out of the top 10. I don't see any of them lasting to number 20, but the Twitterites who are out there and want the Ravens to draft a wide receiver basically with every pick will be all wanting the Ravens to trade up and draft one of those three guys, no doubt.
Yeah, that was something I saw discussed a lot. Like if the top three wide receivers fail to a certain point, what's the point in the draft to try to move up and get one of those guys?
All right. Well, CJ Henderson's dad, I assume, looks a lot happier than CJ even. And
not having to go far, right? So that seemed like a good thing, like a positive, right, in terms of geographic location.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, anything else about Henderson that you want to say, Michael, that we can hopefully get in fairly quick?
Very twitched up, athletic corner. Little inconsistent in terms of his technique, but in terms of just raw athleticism that you want to see at the cornerback position, probably even higher marks than Okuda for him, just in terms of athletic ability at corner.
Okay, 15 penalties the last two seasons combined.
A little grabby. Coleman. A little grabby. Okay.
That'll play interestingly at the NFL level. Is he an extreme press corner? I did not know that to be true, but it well could be true at Michigan that he was playing. I have the wrong guy anyway. Sorry about that.
Yeah. If you're Henderson, he was at Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, he played a fair amount of press, but he played a fair amount of off too. You don't see a ton of press in general in college. You might be more of it in the SEC than you see in other places, but you still see a fair amount of off. So yeah, I think the things with him were just the highs were really high. But then there were more lows than you would expect for a guy with his athletic profile. And that's what you're really, you know, wondering is can you get him with a coach that can put it all together consistently?
All right. The Browns pick is in. They've taken Jedrick Wills, the offensive tackle from Alabama. Tell us what the Ravens pass rushers are now facing, Michael.
Very good tackle. athletic guy, played right tackle this last season at Alabama. Going into the season, the left tackle, I think his name is Alex Leatherwood, was a guy who was getting a lot of hype. But once the season started, Wills clearly emerged as the better guy in terms of the tackle. So good feet, good move.
I'm going to try and lip read here and see if I can hear what Michael is saying. But Wills is a guy with 34 and a quarter inch arms. Definitely has some very positive explosiveness characteristics for an offensive tackle. 10-inch hands are huge. That always helps to, for an offensive lineman in particular, to grab onto both armpits of that opposing player and you torque him in the way you would like rather than him trying to dictate first contact onto your shoulder or onto your side to try and get you a scoop. What do you have to say about that, Michael?
Yeah, totally agree. Grip strength, big, big thing for offensive linemen. I mean, we talked about length when we talked about Andrew Thomas's arms earlier, but grip strength in terms of being able to get hold of a guy and not let him go, you know, once you're able to make contact with him is very important. And like you said, to your point, be able to control him and steer him where you want him to go.
All right. Hey, Michael, I turned your camera off for a little bit just to try to stabilize your audio.
Yeah, I saw that. Is it? Let me know if that's working out any better.
Yeah, as long as I just want to, audio is more important than us trying to read your lips. I'd rather, I rather hear what you have to say.
Michael's probably the best looking of the three of us, so we've definitely taken a step down here. So we apologize for that, Michael.
No, you don't. You definitely don't need to see me, and barely need to hear me. But let's take the audio of the two.
All right. All right, so New York Jets on the clock with 4.5 to go. If the draft is going to commercial here, Josh, I'd kind of like to take a quick bio break personally. See if we can.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes. We can take a break right here.
All right, let's do it.
We'll be right back.
See if we can get you moved, Michael. Too.
That's I'm on the go. Here I go.
Birdland Sports. For fans, by fans. Find more great shows like this at birdlandsports.com.
At Lowe's, we're your go-to for great gardening values every day. That's why we've lowered our price on select bagged mulch, now starting at just $2.88 a bag. Mulch helps prevent weeds and retains moisture. And when you put it down around trees, shrubs, and flower beds, you'll see how beautiful it makes your outdoor space. Just in time to welcome back family and friends. Shop online and pick up in store. Lowe's, home to the best part of summer. Selection and product availability vary by location. While supplies last, U.S. only, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.